Good evening, everyone. I call the December 18, 2023 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll. Here.
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 Thank you. Councilman Foley, can you please introduce our guest this evening who's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
It's my pleasure to welcome Ms. Becca Carroll, and I will introduce her fully after we do the pledge and the national anthem. Becca, please lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
Thank you. A little background. Becca and I go back a ways. Her mother, Tana Carroll, was a Warwick teacher for a number of years and taught and worked with my wife, Martha, and got to know Becca, and she's come a long way. But she's here tonight because she has started and helped develop a drive that has grown exponentially over the years. She provides winter coats to those who need them. If I'm not mistaken, Becca, it's at the State House, right? The day after Thanksgiving every year. And this year here was the largest turnout.
One of the largest.
And now they've turned their sights on another need, and that is they are collecting, and I'll let her explain this, socks and underwear, new in the package, for those people who need that. So Becca, please take. Oh, one last thing. Under celebrations, Becca on Saturday earned her degree, master's degree from URI in business administration. So congratulations
on that
too.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Becca Carroll. I'm the co-director of the Buy Nothing Day Coat Exchange. Thank you all for the opportunity to speak here tonight, and thank you to Councilman Foley for the introduction and the invitation. The Buy Nothing Day Coat Exchange is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides coats, winter gear, socks, and underwear to people experiencing homelessness or financial insecurity. Each year, we spend the months leading up to Thanksgiving collecting hundreds to thousands of coats, gloves, hats, and scarves. People from all across Rhode Island open the doors to their homes and their businesses to serve as drop-off points for donations of gently used coats and other pieces of winter gear to keep their neighbors warm for the winter. For most, the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, but for us, it's Buy Nothing Day. It's our annual opportunity to spread warmth to people and families who need our help the most and to give them the coats and the gear they need to stay warm throughout the season. This year, thanks to the donations and support of neighbors, businesses, and friends, we were able to provide coats and winter gear to about 1,000 people on the State House lawn on the day after Thanksgiving. Now we're getting ready to kick off our Spare a Pair sock and underwear drive in January. Throughout April, we'll collect new, unopened socks and underwear for adults of all sizes and genders. Socks and underwear are among the most commonly requested items for people living in shelters or who are experiencing homelessness. For many of us, they're simply the first thing that we put on in the morning when we first wake up. But for somebody who is living on the streets or living in a shelter, it can make a world of difference to have clean underwear and clean socks that actually fit them. In 2023, our organization was accepted as a Bombas giving partner and a Hanes sock drive partner, which means we have a shipment of about 5,000 pairs of socks from Bombas coming to my front porch within the next few weeks. However, we know that people in our state still need access to clean, well-fitting underwear. We'll be starting our outreach for donations in the new year, asking people to purchase packages of new unopened underwear for adults of all sizes and genders. We also partner with another local nonprofit called Redlined to collect menstrual products. Redlined is based in North Providence and provides free period product kits to schools and community centers like libraries across the state in an effort to fight period poverty among young people. By adding period products to the list of items that we collect as part of Spare a Pair, we're able to help support another organization that provides essential items for people who can't afford them. We try to make it as easy as possible for people to donate, so people can either order things online and have them shipped to us, or they can purchase in store and drop off at one of our headquarters in either Cranston or East Greenwich. Traditionally, we've only had collection sites for Spare a Pair at our headquarters in Cranston and East Greenwich, but we love the opportunity to expand into Warwick to not only make donating easier for your constituents, but to expand access to those items to people in the city who might need them. I have some business cards here with me if you want to check out our website or anything like that. Get in touch with us. I look forward to any opportunity to collaborate with the council and with the city, and thank you for your time.
Excuse me, sir. Just to follow up, Mr. President, I already spoken to the mayor when I knew Becca was coming tonight, and I just introduced her earlier to the chief of staff, and we'll be trying to implement a collection site in some of our public buildings.
Excellent, and thank you very much for your service. That's outstanding, and congratulations on grad school. Next up is general communications. This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have two. First, I'd like to congratulate everyone who helped plan and everyone who participated in the Appanag Holiday Festival. I think it was a great time. We had a great parade. It was very well attended. We had great weather, and it seemed like it was very popular, and I just want to congratulate. It takes a lot of work to put on these events, and there were a lot of city workers, but a lot of volunteers as well, so I just want to congratulate everyone on that. And then just one announcement. I'm sure all the kids at Tollgate are watching the council meeting right now, but there's a distance learning for the next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, for Tollgate students. Are there any other general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
I thank Mr. President. So as you know, I'm kind of accustomed to getting myself in trouble, so we'll do it again and wish our city clerk a happy birthday today. Thank you.
Any other general communications from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on December 4th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? One abstention, Councilman McElroy. Next up is a public comment. I do want to do one last call if anybody would like to sign up for public comment. This is the last call on that. Okay. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there should be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. A, the total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comments shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all the speakers concluding their allotted time, or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. So we have four individuals. The first person is Byron M. If you could just, when you come up to the microphone, it should be on, just please identify yourself.
Good evening. My name is Brian Main. I'm a resident of Norwood. While I was paying my taxes today, I found out about this public safety meeting, and I just wanted to come and comment on it. Talked to my councilman earlier before I got here, and I had some talking points of things that have happened between now and May and now, but I'm not gonna elaborate on them due to the late hour. But I just wanted to say, in each case, Warwick Police was there within 5 minutes, no more. And this was, whether it was 4 a.m, 6 a.m, 2 p.m, it didn't matter. There was an incident directly across the street from me with a belligerent person wanting to get at his family. And that officer used extreme restraint not to put him down by just talking him down and putting the laser on him. It could have been a lot worse. I think we ought to hire more police. We need them. Not enough of them. And that's it.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Richard L.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm in Warwick. It's not coincidental that I'm going to be talking about the zoning ordinance, section 304.6, public street access. I petitioned the city council to strike the private Buttonwoods language from that ordinance. It is unconstitutional. And procedurally, I went to the planning board, and they suggested I go to the planning director and have him put it on the planning board agenda. He suggested that instead I approach the city council and have a council person, hopefully my own, put it on the docket for the city council to direct the planning department to look at my petition, and then we can discuss it in detail. This is a very, very important matter for the people of Warwick, and especially for the city officials and employees. The General Assembly carved out the city from jurisdiction of the Buttonwood streets that the City Council does not recognize as public highways. This makes it impossible for the City Council to legislate these streets as private ways. The Council does not have the power to establish legislation on the private nature of Buttonwood streets. Yes, it could accept a Buttonwood street as a public highway, but cannot legislate these ways as private. The language of the Warwick Zoning Ordinance, section 304.6, public street access, was adopted by the City Council without the usual notice in the newspapers, without a public hearing, and without a reason given in the docket. The notice and the hearing are required for the City Council to operate in its legislative capacity. Given that the question of the public nature of the Buttonwood streets appears to be controversial in the community, the appearance is that the City Council is operating in its judicial capacity. This leaves its actions subject to judicial review, including declarative relief. The reason why the proper planning of this Buttonwood Street issue is vital to the interests of the city and its employees and officials is that the city staff and elected officials are held to a higher standard of conduct under 42 U.S.C. 1983, civil action for deprivation of rights. As is true with police officers, other public officials must act within their scope of authority. Unless the city assumes the public responsibility to maintain the public streets, the city officials have no authority under these roads. City officials who ignore this dedication and acceptance do so at their own risk. Given that many of these streets lead to the shore, and blocking these streets may be a criminal violation under Rhode Island General Law 114424. The 42 U.S.C. 1983 Civil Rights Deprivation applies here, and city officials who attempt to privatize or otherwise block these streets are outside of the scope of their duties. In other words, we have a big problem here. Anytime a city official attempts to deal with the, in quotes, private nature of a Buttonwood street, the city has no authority of these streets whatsoever. This is a fire district matter presented to it by the General Assembly. Listening to the comments tonight on these other zoning ordinance changes makes me realize that we have the same issue here that we have with all the other things we discussed tonight. The General Assembly has instructed the city to change the zoning ordinance to meet what the General Assembly requires for multiple unit housing in Warwick. I totally support that idea. I think we all should. It's important. In the same vein, the General Assembly has instructed the city to stay away from the Buttonwoods Fire District, not to legislate anything about the Buttonwoods Fire District, except perhaps adopting the streets as public. It does have that ability, but it certainly has no ability to discuss anything about the private nature of the streets of Buttonwoods. That's up to the Buttonwoods Fire District. That's the reason why I'm asking that the City Council strike the ordinance 304.6 public street access. It was not constitutionally legislated. There was no notice. There was no hearing. There was no docket for the purpose of it.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Langsa.
One more minute? I didn't hear you. One more minute? Okay. So the point is, we really need to deal with this issue. It impacts the staff. It impacts the city council members. It impacts the public officials who are trying to deal with this matter. All of these people, if they go the wrong way, they're subject to federal a suit. I mean, the city could lose a lot of money on this. Thank you very much.
The next speaker is Rob C.
Thank you, Rob. Cody, Ward 7. I just wanted to bring to your attention, if members of the council are unaware of the incident that took place on Friday, a First Amendment group by the name of the San Joaquin Valley Transparency Group posted a video pertaining to the Warwick City Council, which now the Warwick City Council has been recognized nationwide. Unfortunately, it wasn't for their skill set on scrutinizing contracts that affect the general public, nor was it pertaining to being fiscally responsible and doing the homework. The video pertained to the July 17th meeting where my First Amendment right was trampled on by Councilwoman Travis. In 12 hours, in excess of 120,000 people viewed this video. There are thousands of comments online, all calling for this person to be dismissed or to resign from the city council. I personally received in excess of 300 people that contacted me from all over the country and also from as far as Australia and the United Kingdom, all demanding that this council member publicly apologize to the residents of Warwick, because clearly her actions showed that she has no concept of the fundamental doctrine that this country was built upon, which is the First Amendment. She has shown absolutely no remorse, but more importantly, 5 months as of yesterday, Neither she nor this council nor this administration have uttered one word publicly recognizing that they violated the fundamental doctrine that the United States was built upon. That, to me, says that this council and this administration either condone or support her outrageous behavior. And it seems pretty evident to me. In fact, through this five-month period, there has only been one comment that was made in support of Ms. Travis's trampling of the First Amendment, and that was by the two-time failed mayoral candidate, Mr. Richard Correnti, which was published in the Warwick Beacon, which was a travesty in itself that the editor allowed that to be published. In view of what's been taking place, I've been contacted, so I've taken the liberty to start to put together excerpts from the city council where not only is the general public right to speak being trampled upon, but it's taken to another level when the council president and the finance chairman shut down on a regular basis a councilman who does his homework, who's intimately familiar with finances and is an expert, in my opinion, and looks out for the benefit of his constituents in the city. So I look forward to another segment from the San Joaquin Transparency Group and their in excess of 500,000 members that watch this. And I would suggest that you all watch it because it's clearly evident that this council has taken incremental steps to shut down the public, to sequester free speech, and not to listen to anybody that has something to say that's done their homework. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Mike Z.
Hi, good evening. Michael Zarum, Ward 2. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the City Council, those from the public who are here tonight. On current issues, I want to start off with thanking everybody for first passage of PCO 21-22, and I would ask a favorable action tonight for second passage. If you read the description for PCO 21-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick to implement the comprehensive plan by changing the zoning of certain residential properties of open space of the City of Warwick. I think it's a big step forward, but what I want to point out about this is that we went from over a year ago a good effort by the Warwick Land Trust to trying to do some open space bonds, which other people in the city felt were not affordable at that time. And then Mr. Gephardt and Mr. Ricks had approached me to look at other ways, which we did. And we went back and amended the comprehensive plan back at the same time we amended the comprehensive plan for the solar regulatory ordinance. It's just one way of doing things. And we look at issues like this of trying to preserve things like Barton Farm. We have to look at all the different ways to do it. And if we have to fine tune it, we have to fine tune it going forward. But I basically say I would ask for favorable action on second passage for that tonight. I want to thank the mayor. I want to thank members of the planning department in the planning board too. I also want to thank members of the public who have basically advocated for protection of certain places like Barton Farm for many, many years. That's it on that topic. The other topic is the airport. I don't know if everybody's been following it, but I think most people know that several months ago, I spoke at this very podium and asked that the most appropriate person in the city contact an attorney, Mr. Stephen Tabor, in Pasadena, California, as having been retained by the City of Warwick back around 2011 and 2012. The results that Mr. Tabor got back then was full compliance with the Clean Water Act, as well as additional FAA procedural acts. The mitigation that was done at that time in the Bucky Brook watershed was over $100 million. And I just want to point out where that process is right now. The city filed what's called a petition for review. They retained Mr. Stephen Tabor again. In my opinion, he's one of the best aviation attorneys in the country. He mostly looks out for municipalities, not airports. Where everything stands in court right now is with a petition of review, the FAA has to produce a record, an administrative record, for the attorney and the city to review. It's a huge, huge record. I do believe at this point that Mr. Tabor has that record, is reviewing it and setting up a schedule with the appeals court in Washington, D.C., for which pleadings will be due, I believe, sometime in April, a few months away. Also, in reviewing the environmental assessment again, I do believe that the Rhode Island Airport Corporation, through the FAA, gave false and misleading information to everybody here in the city of Warwick. Hopefully that'll come out as things move forward. There was also a noise meeting that was held in the Airport Corporation boardroom a couple of weeks ago. John Howell was there and did a very good report. One of the things that I pointed out at the meeting was a research study that was presented last year at the National Aviation Noise and Emissions Symposium that was at UCAL Davis, California. For simplicity tonight and wrapping up, I'm just going to read the title.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Zarin.
Thank you. I'm just going to read the title of the research study. Many of you know that the airport for noise and sound insulation and home buyouts use a single metric. This research study was done by a woman with a PhD in statistics. It's titled, Is It Time to Retire a 30-Year-Old Aviation Single Noise Metric? Of course, the person that did this believes it is. One of her findings, I'm just going to read it right here, Danil 65 statistically is an invalid metric for noise near airports. With that, the FAA is in the process of redoing all of its noise metrics. They haven't taken effect yet, but at this point, they're soliciting comments. With that in closing, hopefully we'll move forward in the right direction and protect the people that are severely impacted by the airport here. And at the same time, still provide transportation that's needed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 140-23, resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-452, 2021-204, 2021-176, 2024-302, 2024-304 Alpha, 2024-319, 2024-298 Alpha Bravo, correction, 2024-298, 2024-303, 2024-301, 2023-052, 2024-298 Echo, 2024-298 Delta, 2023-310, 2023-255.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments that went unasked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Okay, seeing that's the only thing on the consent calendar, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the consent calendar. Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt? Yes. Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you. The consent calendar passes. I believe three items were removed from the consent calendar. First up, Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. Bid 2024-299, PCR 141-23, favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I will not be voting in favor of this item, not because I don't believe that we need the automotive parts, but because I believe the current process is flawed. To ask for us to approve items that we have no idea what those costs are, that just defies any business sense to me whatsoever. To approve a purchase, not just a purchase, almost $1 million worth of purchases, and yet not have any idea what the list price is. The discount amount is known, but the net cost is not known. This is a total reversal of what the city council had done back in 2016, 18, I forget the exact year. And this just defies logic to me. And I cannot support this process. I cannot vote to approve almost $1 million worth of purchases when the administration has not presented me with the list price and knowing what the net cost would be. This is just going into a store blind and buying whatever you'd like and not knowing what that cost is going to be. I can't support that, and I will be voting no on this issue as well as the next two, so I don't need to regurgitate all of these items. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, hearing none, it's been moved and seconded for favorable action. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Yes. Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinappi? Ms. Travis? 7-2, no motion passes.
Thank you. 7-2, motion passes. Second item, Councilman Howe. Second item that was removed from the consent calendar.
Thank you, Mr. President. Formerly bid 2024-300 Alpha, now PCR 142-23. Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Councilman Lattiser, you said comments are the same for this as well. No?
I'll be just recognizing it. I can actually expand on it if you'd like. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, you're welcome. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinappi? Yes. Ms. Travis?
No.
No. No, I'm sorry. 6-3, no.
6-3, no. Motion passes. The third item that was removed, Councilman Howe.
Formerly bid 2024-300 Bravo, now PCR 143-23, a favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Additional questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinappi? Ms. Travis? 6-3, no, motion passes.
Thank you. Motion passes, 6-3. We're now moving to unfinished business. First up is PCO 21-22, committee report, land use.
Recommend favorable action, second passage.
Can you move that for me, Councilman?
Move favorable action.
Thank you. Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee on PCO 21-22. Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi? Ms. Travis? Yes. 9-yes, second passage.
Thank you, second passage. Number two this evening is PCO 23-23, committee report, land use.
Recommend favorable action, second passage.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? And Councilman Lattiser, sorry. Any questions or comments on PCO 23-23 that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis? 9 yes, second passage.
Thank you, second passage. Number three this evening is PCO 24-23 sub A, committee report, land use.
Recommend move to the floor without a recommendation.
Okay, would you like to make a recommendation? We'll get a second and then open it up.
I'll make a recommendation for favorable action.
Okay, seconded by Councilman Foley. All right, Councilman Ricks, do you have any additional questions or comments that were not asked earlier in committee?
We had an extensive discussion in committee. I don't have any further questions or comments at this time.
Additional questions or comments from members of the council on PCO 24-23 sub A? Okay, it has been moved favorable in its second. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Ms. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howell?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, second passage.
Thank you. Second passage on PCO 24-23, sub A. Number four this evening is PCR 136-23, committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action in the amount of $160.50.
Okay, for action, Councilman Foley?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Yes. Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. Number five this evening is PCR 137-23, committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action in the amount of $524.13.
Okay, for action, Councilman Foley.
Recommend move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. We're now moving on to new business. There is none. So now we're on to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9? Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor to move into docket session, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We are now in a docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
No, thank you. Merry Christmas to all my colleagues.
Councilman Foley, would you mind docketing an omnibus traffic studies for the calendar year of 2024?
It would be my pleasure.
So that would be public safety. Can you just repeat it? So
an omnibus resolution relative to traffic studies.
Which we do every year. Yep. Thank you. That will be in public safety.
Thank you.
Ward 2.
I believe that Solicitor Walsh may have one for me.
An omnibus resolution relative to congratulations and condolences.
That's the one, and to all, good night.
Thank you. Intergovernment, community affairs. Again, an annual one as well. Ward 3, anything to docket?
No.
Pass. Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9? All right, the meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Everyone have a safe and healthy new year. We'll see you soon.